This is a holy place. God's word is opened. The good news is spoken. God's grace and invitation to life is in baptism. God is among us now, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. This is a holy place. Come, let us worship God together, wherever you are, gathered here or online. You are welcome into this holy place. Let us now sing, Here in This Place. Thousands of years, indigenous people have walked in this land on their own country. Their relationship with the land is at the center of their lives. We acknowledge the Kaurna people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Let us pray. God of Easter, touch us with your grace. You show us your hands, so we may reach out to mend the broken. You show us your feet, so we may walk with those the world passes by. You show us your face, so we may know who our sisters and brothers look like. Risen Christ, Touch us with your compassion. You open our eyes so we may see God's love. You open our minds so we may welcome God's word. You open our lips so we may be God's witnesses. Spirit of hope, touch us with your peace. Amen.
Our focus today is about puzzles. Who likes to do puzzles? Anyone a puzzle person? Great, okay. But do you like to see the picture first, or do you like to try without the picture? Picture first, okay. Well, we've got a PowerPoint today that I've put together. It's a very simple puzzle, but I want to know when you go, aha, I know what it is. So when you go, aha, I know what it is, put your hand up. Let's see how we go. Thank you, Sharon. What can you see? Okay. What can you see? Mm-hmm. Now what can you see? More jigsaw puzzle? Okay. All right. At this point, are you starting to think, well, it might be. Tiger, okay. Ah, a little bit more of a clue. Okay. Grass and the sun. Okay. You're starting to feel a bit more confident? No? Okay. Ah, so there's the grass and the sun. Okay. Now, anyone know? Anyone know? Okay, I've got some hands up. The butterfly. It took us a long time, didn't it, to get those pieces together. And do you know, I sometimes think that it was a puzzle for those disciples. Have a think if it was you walking along the road to Emmaus. You're sad. You're disappointed. The person who is your leader has died, and in a terrible way. And what's sustaining you? The stories that Jesus told, the things that you knew about Jesus, what's sustaining you? And then something happens. The pieces of the puzzle start coming together. Do you remember the stories from the Old Testament? Do you remember the stories that Jesus told? And what does the puzzle do for you now? Do your pieces come together? And today, we continue that journey, the journey of those pieces of the puzzles. How is your faith? Does your faith put the pieces together as you live your daily life? Do we live out the stories of Jesus? I wonder. I had some colouring in if you were a little person, but if you want to do some colouring in of a puzzle, I will put it over on the table and you might like to take one later. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Over the past few weeks, we particularly have been looking at the appearance stories post-Easter. The time of Jesus after his crucifixion and at Easter Sunday, the resurrection. Easter Sunday, we read of John 20. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. In Mark 16, Jesus tells the disciples that he'll go to Galilee and promises that there they will see him, just as it had been told. The puzzle bits are starting to come together. Last week, again, we read more in John 20. The disciples were in rooms that were locked for fear of the authorities. Puzzled. But Jesus appears. And we heard of the story of Thomas, the hero Thomas, the questioning Thomas, the one who we identify with perhaps most of the disciples. Today, in a moment, Joan will read to us our reading today from Luke 24. The disciples again are in a room that is locked by themselves, and Jesus appears amongst them. And if you listen carefully, you'll hear, hopefully, that the point of this appearance story does not seem to establish the resurrection of Jesus, but rather the appearance serves as an occasion for the disciples to be commissioned, that is, the church, to go out for their future roles in the Christian community. The puzzle pieces are coming together. Thanks, John.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36b to 49. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and they thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." God's word made new.
Autumn is a season of change, and part of the draw to the season is seeing the leaves light themselves up in these brilliant colors before they fall to the earth. And as they lay there against the ground, they decay and they nourish the soil so that new growth can come in the spring. As we reflect on this process today, let's go inward, invite the Holy Spirit in, and look at what we may need to release, what we may need to let go, what burdens we need to shake off so that we can allow for new growth through God.
This prayer together. Thank you.
if our actions mirrored our words, if our hands were mentored by our hearts, if we walked the talk, what love could we share? Peter speaks with power and clarity of his faith, while we remain silent. The psalmist speaks of trusting in you, while lack of trust overtakes us. Jesus grants us peace, yet fear prevails. Holy One, transform us into Easter people through the power of love and forgiveness. We continue in song. Love and forgiveness are given freely and lavishly so that we might be renewed to our higher selves. We receive God's love and forgiveness. We are renewed to speak more clearly, to trust more fully, and to love more completely. We are indeed an Easter people. Thanks be to God. Amen. It is autumn. The chill is in the air. It's turned. It's a season of loss, of vulnerability. Good Friday moves to Easter Day in just 3 days. Yet autumn stretches out for months, and then winter for another few months. It takes confidence and faith to believe that new life can emerge from what seems to be delayed, dormant, or dead. Autumn comes in all its fullness, harvesting both land and hearts. Autumn has its birth in winter, in the stillness where life starts. Every death brings hope of birthing. Every birth enfolds life. And for the seasons of our living mirrors the patterns nature has penned. Autumn gives us another chance, a time to choose seeds which will bear rich fruits, fragile life that can be nurtured, buried in autumn endings lies the shoot that bursts the tomb. For the letting go in autumn sows the seed that births the bloom. In confidence, let us hear those words. To believe that rebirth or new birth in life can happen. It takes confidence of faith to expect to find seeds in the rotting soil that spring in time will bring forth. It takes confidence of faith to recognize that everything is a birth canal preparing for a renewing story. May we be open to the promise that is new. Amen.
Let us sing together, all together, everybody's song, Spirit.
Often difficult to substantiate. But by definition, a fact is a thing that is indisputably the case, or information that is used as evidence. Well, in this day and age of fake news, it's good to know there are websites that check the facts for us, like Fact Checker and Snoops. And of course, Wikipedia. Wikipedia says a fact is an occurrence in the real world. The usual test for a statement of fact is verifiability, that is, whether it can be demonstrated to correspond to experience. But we all know we can't trust Wikipedia for the facts. We can't always trust or rely on feelings altogether. Either. Why? Because feelings fluctuate. They go up and they go down, sometimes even sideways. Take, for example, your favourite football team. Your football team wins, and you feel good. If they don't, you feel bad. You make excuses. The fact is that you might be a paid-up member, but your feeling is one of despair. And you're ready to burn your tickets. Never. Other things can determine our feelings, like our environment. Whether it's a nice day or a bad day, sunny day, cloudy day. Experiences, whether you've had a good day or a bad day. Or simply being tired can lead us to being grumpy. But trust the facts, we say. Trust the facts. Facts don't change. Jesus is risen. He's risen indeed. So we say. Do we live on the fact, or do we live on the feelings? On the emotions of the feelings? Do we get excited about facts? Facts are hard to believe. Can you hear the disciples saying in the gospel readings, Jesus stood there and was with us? Or, Jesus stood there and was with us. But often facts and feelings go together. Jesus is present. And Jesus is he who empowers us to be the church. Fact? Feeling? True? Actual? Feeling. Past few weeks, who's felt a bit somewhat low after Easter? Bit of a down. Busy, feeling a bit flat, deflated. All the visitors have gone home. The Easter long weekend is over. Your camping experience down the coast or up the river or over the peninsula or wherever it might have been is now in the past, and you've come back to earth, quite literally, back to work. Or even back to school, and then a week, and now you're back on holidays again. And how does that work? Feelings. Easter feels so long ago. The high of Easter, the excitement, the joy, the days off, the spiritual experience going through Lent and Good Friday, Easter Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. And now we're back into routine again. The feeling might be a bit flat. Bit like coming off all the chocolate high that we've eaten. I think the church is a lot like the balloon sometimes. Gets excited. Oh, not too many people got excited about that. If I had another one, I'd do it again. Just happens I have one prepared before. But this one, yay! There we go, you see. Yeah, come on, Carol, get into it. Excitement and inflated. Fact. Air is to the balloon what the Spirit of God is to the church. What makes us who we are? What is it that unites us? After all, we are the uniting church in Australia. Is it the way our service is structured, certain theological positions, church backgrounds? Is it the colour of the carpet, the notice board, the style of songs we sing? How we view communion, is it whatever? Is it whatever we are? No. It is the presence of the risen Christ, the post-Easter Jesus, who infuses or inflates the church with his spirit, his wind, his ruach, or sophia, wind, breath. Very new, life-giving breath. Today's Bible reading gives us a picture of the church, perhaps at its worst. The first miserable little conglomeration ever to take upon itself the name church. In John's Gospel for last Sunday and echoed in Luke today, the disciples are hiding in doors and rooms that are bolted with padlocks and chains. for they were in fear. Bit of sound effects there. That's the church, hiding, deflated, scared, worried, hoping nobody knew that they were there. But Jesus meets them. He meets them on the road to Emmaus that we heard from the focus time. He meets them on the beach. He meets them behind locked doors and closed rooms and transforms them into energized believers. The church. Without the risen Christ, without His Spirit, God's Spirit, we would not be here. The church is founded upon Jesus Christ crucified and risen. We are a post-Easter people. Fact. Feel like one of those ads on TV. Fact. Listen to what the Basis of Union says of the Uniting Church. You should all know it off by heart. Paragraph 3. The Uniting Church acknowledges that the faith and unity of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church is built upon the one Lord Jesus Christ. The church preaches Christ, the risen, crucified one, and confesses him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is very Christ-centered, very Jesus-centered. It's all about the risen Jesus. The central message of the church is faith in the crucified and risen one. Not the dead Jesus, but the alive and the risen one. Fact. Easter transforms Easter disciples. Once dispersed and despised and rejected, doubting, fearful, they turn into evangelists and missionaries, into preachers, into youth leaders, junior church leaders, group facilitators by faith and spiritual passion. Jesus says, "Go. As the Father sent me, I send you." We have a calling to be the disciples of the church today, in our day and age, no matter what age we are. Fact, the disciples were once like deflated balloons, now are filled with good breath. Jesus' breath. In John's Gospel version of the story, it is written, "When you had finished these things, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Jesus is saying, "Receive me. Receive the Spirit of God, the wind, the breath, the air of life." Fact, the breath of God or the Spirit of God is about infusing life into or bringing life that which is dead and deflated. It is bringing order out of chaos. It is inflating that which is flat. Fact. What makes us the church is not our efforts, not what we do, not our great faithfulness, our acts of justice and love and worship. What makes us the church is the living presence of the risen one. In fact, that's what we light our candle, to represent the presence of the living Christ. Mysteriously present here among closed doors, walls, and bigger than time and space. Easter says this to today's church, caught in all our failures to be faithful, caught in all our struggles and tensions, Christ comes and breathes on us, infuses us with his very life and spirit, blesses us, gives himself to us. We must never forget that the church is the church of Christ, the people of God. It is not a club or a clique. It's not a possession, but a community of diverse people centered in and on Jesus Christ. Fact, to the church that had nothing, Jesus gives everything. Spirit, mission, forgiveness, love, and transformation. Fact, we are the church. Not because of this building, not because of the songs we sing, not because of the preaching, not even the various activities and groups that we belong to or partake in. We are the church because to us, even as we are and as we wish to be, Jesus comes and stands among us and gives us the Spirit and commissions us to be his church. Fact. We don't go or come to church. Church is not something we go to. We come to worship in a church, yes, and we call this structure a church. But the church is the people who gather and worship and are sent out in mission. The church is present in our community. Midweek, nighttime, weekends, Sundays, and even gathered online. Church is not what we do, but who we are. We are the church, breath-infused, spirit-invigorated people of God, fact. So facts or feelings? Are we the church? Do we feel like the church? Which of the balloons might we feel like? We might may not always feel like the church. We might not always feel that we are effective in doing what we ought to be doing. But the fact is, Christ is present. In the mysterious way, Christ is here. His breath and his spirit has infused us to be the church. And we're still here, functioning some 2,000 years later. Perhaps we feel that we should have left and given up a long time ago. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, continues to draw us together, feeds us, nourishes us, infuses us, and sends us out. Fact, we are the church, the body of Christ, the people of God, the ones whom Christ lives, moves, and breathes. We are the church today, not the church of tomorrow, but today, here, and now. And that is a fact. Let's join together in prayer. We gather here as a fellowship of people who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. One of the major marks of this fellowship is the sense of joy we experience as we gather to worship you, O God, to give thanks for Jesus and to witness to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Come to us in the risen Christ. Come through the closed doors of our hearts and minds and take away the fears and the doubts. Come to us in the risen Christ and breathe on us and fill us with the joy and peace of your presence. Bless us all as people who have not seen you, but who believe that you are truly the risen one and truly present with us and with all of creation. Amen. And we sing together the song, God sends us the Spirit to enliven and enrich us.
Spirit of our Father, Spirit friend.
To just draw your attention to the many activities that take place in our church and to the notice sheet, which is available online. And if you haven't got access to that, there are copies in the foyer. We have some exciting news. Jing, Mike, and Kenny are delighted to announce the birth of Amelia on the 11th of April at the Women's and Children's Hospital, and all are doing well. We now come to give thanks for the offerings. We give thanks for the offerings that we receive of gifts of money, time, talents, and skill, of acts of love and kindness. We know that whatever we give with love, in your hands it will be enough and to spare. Amen. Let us pray for others. O God, your peace is love for all people, justice for all people, truth for all people. Your peace is a peace we believe in because of your promise. We pray for those who have no peace, those in countries where justice seems far away, and those who trample on human rights, disempower and abuse. We pray for those who have no peace, those who are troubled and torn apart by lack of self-esteem, and those who torment and victimize the vulnerable. We pray for those who have no peace, men, women, and children affected by violence in the home, and for those who live by violence. We pray for those who have no peace, for those who are trafficked, and for those who organize and profit from selling other humans. We pray for those who have no peace, those whose resources and vital supplies are scarce, and those who violate the earth and are close to the effects of climate change. We pray for ourselves. May we be open to your peace, that we may be bearers of your love, justice, and truth, and touch the world with compassion. Amen. Let us join in song, Lord, here I am.
I'm
The risen Spirit of Jesus has met us here this day, renewing us in through worship, binding us together in community, calling us to use our diverse gifts, and sending us out into places of need.
We have met Christ and will answer the call.
So go in peace this morning, the peace that the world cannot give, to announce that fear and death have been defeated.
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.
As we leave this morning, I invite you, if you're this way, on this side, to leave by the eastern door. If you're leaving through those doors, please wait for the cameras to be out of the way. And again, maintain our social distancing as we enjoy coffee and tea together this morning. Peace of God be with you.